Hi, everybody. My name is Christy, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm glad to be here today with all of you all. So it says in the AA Big Book, in Chapter 5, which is How It Works, that our stories disclose in a general way what it used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. And so that's what I'm here to do for the next 20 minutes. What it used to be like. Honestly, I really think that I was born a compulsive overeater. I am not somebody who says, oh, I'm an emotional eater, or, oh, I eat because I'm bored. I eat because the alarm clock goes off in the morning, my friends. Like, I don't need any excuse at all. One of my earliest memories is of I was in elementary school, so I must have been 7, maybe 8. There was no term for it yet in those days because I'm old. But I then became called later on a latchkey kid. So I would go home and let myself into the house. And one of those earliest memories is of eating in the armchair in the living room. So I would be home and by myself, and I would drag the kitchen stool over in front of the refrigerator, clamber up on top of it with a pair of barbecue tongs in my little hand, my pudgy little hand, and I would reach into the back of a kitchen cabinet way in the back and drag out the box or the bag that was there that, you know, my mom had tried to hide from me. And I would leave the wrappers. Initially, they would just be stuffed down in the cushions of the chair. But as I got a little older, I would eat in my bedroom and I would hide the wrappers under my bed. When I was in high school, my height and my weight and puberty all caught up with each other, and I was a normal weight. I was actually slim. That lasted for about 37 seconds. And then I continued gaining weight. In college, I had my first experience of intentionally losing weight. I put myself on a 900 calorie a day diet. This is not healthy, my friends. And I can, to this day, I can tell you the calorie count in 5 black olives. I can still do that, and in certain other foods. I started this because I was working for the summer as a lifeguard at the reservoir in the town where I grew up. I was on my own for the summer. You would think that there was never anybody around when I was growing up. That really wasn't the case. But my mom is she's an academic, and so she was in Europe doing research for the summer. My dad and my sister were hiking in the Grand Tetons. And so I would get on my little bicycle every day and bicycle down to the reservoir. Now, I was probably 60 pounds overweight by this time. And they had us arrayed in the bright red Speedo swimsuit with an International Signal orange T-shirt with royal blue piping around the neck and the sleeves. And we all had to take a turn on the International Signal orange surfboard, which meant we were out in the water patrolling, but there were snapping turtles in the water. And so I would be out there kicking like crazy to keep the snappers away. You could not miss me. It was impossible not to see me. Also, while I was in college, I had a boyfriend, and I knew that it was time for the relationship to end, but I didn't know how to do that. So I did what any normal addict would do. I went to Europe for the year. I figured that would take care of that. And I binged my way across Europe. I stole food from my housemates, because if you don't ask permission, it's stealing. I stole clothes from one of them. Again, not asking permission. I would be standing in line at some place to purchase food, and I would think to myself, Christy, neither your wallet nor your figure can afford what you are about to do. But I was compelled. It was a compulsion. I could not stop. And I was on the bonus plan, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with, which is that each time I lost weight, I would gain it back plus an additional 10 pounds. So I came back for my final year of college, having weighing more, considerably more than when I left. So what happened? The year after I graduated from college, I had my first experience of saying, not, I don't want to look like this anymore, but I don't want to live like this anymore. This is not the kind of life that I want. And so I found a therapist, and my idea in entering treatment was that I would organize my life so that all of the reasons that I ate, which were usually all of everybody else, wouldn't happen anymore. I would be in control of things, and I could make sure that those things never happened, and then I could stop eating. And in the first session that I had with her, she asked me, has it ever occurred to you that you have a disease? Now, this had never occurred to me. This was a revolutionary idea to me. And it was so reassuring because it meant that I was not weak. I was not a failure. This wasn't a moral issue. I have a disease like cancer or diabetes. This is not my fault. I had been very perplexed about this willpower idea because in every other area of my life, I had tremendous willpower and I couldn't figure out why I just couldn't apply it to my eating. So this was a revolutionary idea and very exciting to me. So exciting, in fact, that 6 weeks later, I raced right down to my very first OA meeting. And for 11 months, I would go to maybe one meeting a week, maybe, because I was a very busy, important person. And I did not get a sponsor because there was nobody who could truly understand the specialness of me. I stole the literature because I figured if you people were really being honest and you really wanted me to get well, you would give me the literature. I did not steal the big book. It was pamphlets. This was in the days before we had an OA Daily Reader, before we had an OA 12 and 12, before we had the chocolate book. We didn't have any of those books. Now, my days before I came into program, so during this 11 months, consisted of this. I would wake up. I was teaching in those days. I would wake up as late in the morning as I possibly could and still make it to work. I would eat what I call a white breakfast. This is all of those boring diet foods, you know, like cottage cheese. Forgive me if you like cottage cheese. I like cottage cheese, but this was not delicious cottage cheese. And just boring white foods to punish myself because I was fat. Racing down the highway in my car, applying my mascara as I went, it was months before I understood that the other teachers were staying after school at the end of the day for lesson planning and stuff, because at the end of the day, I was out that door. And on my way home, I stopped at initially one, but eventually two binge spots. And I ordered enough food for me and my friend in the car. And that meant that I had to get two diet sodas. And I would get home and I would array all of my food on a tray on the coffee table. And I would sit down on the sofa. This was before remote controls for TV, so I, you know, wasn't going to stand up. And from about 4 o'clock until after Johnny Carson, which only Joe and I remember, thank you to those who are my people. That was 1 in the morning. I was there on the sofa until eating, and I'm not here to tell you that I also didn't eat dinner. I did also eat dinner, and eventually I got a clue, right? And I moved the food and the TV into the bedroom so that I could just pass out at 1 a.m. right there in the bed. Perish the thought I would have to bestir my body in any way. Now, it's just like Dr. Paul says in the AA Big Book in his story. I hated myself so much that I kept picking fights with my husband, you know, projecting onto him. And in the midst of one of these fights, I picked up a knife, which I had conveniently by to spread and cut things, and I stabbed him. And I got him in the arm. He's fine. We're no longer married, but he is fine. We have a fine relationship. And I refused to take him to the hospital. Was this my bottom? Oh, heck no. This was not my bottom. My bottom was, well, first he called my therapist and he told her, was that my bottom? Oh, no, no, no. My bottom came when she pinned my ears back and said, if you think that your safety is to be found in bags and boxes and in the refrigerator, you are delusional and you will either be in a mental institution or you will be dead. And so I made a commitment to her that I would go to a meeting the next day and get a sponsor, which I did. There were seven people at the meeting, and this was all face-to-face. There was one sponsor in the room, and I did not like her, but I had made this commitment. So I asked her to be my sponsor. She said yes. She told me what she ate, so I ate what she ate. And after 3 weeks, as the fog began to lift, after 3 weeks of abstinence, as the fog began to lift, I was going to other meetings and found myself a sponsor we were a better fit with each other. And I started working the 12 steps at that point. Something else I wanted to say about that, the experience of the first sponsor. Ah, right. I remember the first morning, which would have been that next morning, when I woke up abstinent. I could not believe it. I absolutely could not believe that I had gotten through 24 hours without doing this compulsively. And I have been abstinent since then. That was May 30th, 1980. It was a long time ago. And I try to remember to say this frequently. The person amongst us today who has the longest period of abstinence is the one of us who got up earliest this morning. I'm one bite away from a binge. So I said that I started at that point working the 12 steps. So now let me move into, I did what it used to be like, what happened, and what I'm like now. I am maintaining a 100-pound weight loss. And honestly, friends, my program isn't really so different now from what it used to be like. Let me talk about the tools part of it first, and then I'm going to spend more time on the steps, because the steps are where the recovery is. My food plan is basically the same as it was those decades ago. It comes to me from a nutritionist now. In those days, OA had a pamphlet. It was called The Dignity of Choice, and it had 8 food plans in it, and you chose one. Well, I did the one that my sponsor used. So now my food plan comes to me from a nutritionist. So as I say, it has the Good Housekeeping seal of approval. Would you excuse me for just a second? Rachel. Oh, no, we're right. You're counting down. I'm counting up. Sorry. Thank you. I'm good. I give service when I'm asked. I have a sponsor. So I am sponsored and I have 3 sponsees. I try to say 3 meals a day, 3 meetings a week, 3 sponsees. And the telephone is my weakest tool, but now that I can text people, oh baby, that is a lifesaver. I use that quite frequently. I read the literature. So I use the tools, but the steps are where the recovery is. So when I wake up in the morning, before I get out of bed, I say the serenity prayer, step 1, step 2, step 3, the third step prayer. I take step 6 and 7, listing my character defects and asking for each of them to be removed. And I'm here to tell you, if you have not tried this yet, you are doing yourself a disservice. It works. When I ask my higher power to remove, for example, my primary one is negativity, criticizing, condemning, and complaining, it is removed for the day. And 11, I do a 10-minute prayer and meditation.
Gentle reminder, 5 minutes.
Thank you, Rachel. Throughout the day, I work steps 10, 11, and 12. I do tons of those spot check inventories. Ooh, I just said something that was really inappropriate. That happens to me fairly frequently. I have a mouth. And so I immediately make my amends and tell the person what I'm going to do to ensure that that doesn't happen again. About once a year, I do steps 4 and 5. And if I remember a new person to go on my amends list, I'll do step 8 and 9. Now, I was thinking the other morning about things that I can do now that I couldn't do when I was eating or before I was in recovery. Also, what I've learned about myself. So things I can do now that I couldn't do then. Let's start with a couple of things I've learned about myself. I had no idea that I'm actually a generous person. And I'm very loyal, fiercely loyal. I've learned that I'm a quite good public speaker, and I don't think this will come as any surprise. I can talk pretty much on any topic at any time, for any length of time. My family's motto is ignorance with confidence. I try not to say things that display my ignorance, but it's there in the genes, I'm afraid. I went to graduate school and I have a doctorate, which there is no way on this green earth that I could have done when I was eating. It was simply impossible to do. I would have been too befogged. I just couldn't have done it. I had a profession that I always, always wanted to have because of this program. Because of this program, I volunteer quite a lot. But one of the things that I have started to, I've always sung in a chorus, always, going back to being a child. But in the last 3 years, I started to take voice lessons. And now, in 2 weeks, I'm going to be in a voice competition, competing with 3 pieces. I did this last year. I'll do it again. Last year, I was completely ignorant, had no idea what I'm doing. This year, I had a little bit more knowledge about what actually is going to happen there. Like, and I'm not, Notre Chère Martine is a professional singer. I'm not, but I enjoy this. I really, it feeds my soul. I could no more have at 100 pounds more than I weigh now. Oh no. Oh, absolutely not. There was no way I was going to be in front of people. So, these are just some of the things I can do now that I couldn't do then. I am remarried. My beloved is, also in program and in recovery, and, I'm so grateful for him. We're childhood sweethearts. My worst day abstinent is still miles better than my best day compulsively overeating was. There's no question. I have a life today that is second to none. There's no possible way I could have foreseen what the gifts that I was going to receive simply by putting down the food and starting with the first step. So I want to leave you with, don't eat no matter what. No matter what, you don't eat. Every single one of us is abstinent for this time that we are together. And it can all start, if you came in off of a binge, you are abstinent right now. Yay! And finally, as I say, thank you for helping me to stay abstinent for another 24 hours. And thank you for letting me share.